India's coronavirus numbers are rising, which was to be expected to some extent for two reasons. One, because the lockdown has now been more or less lifted. For about 2 weeks back, the relaxation started. And second, because India is testing a lot more. India is testing now nearly 1,40,000 a day. And I think soon enough, it will be 1,50,000 and then more. It will keep rising. So as you test more, you will get more positives. But there are, again, two issues there. One, India's test positivity rate is going up. So from 4% approximately, it's now come to about 6%. So 4 to 6 is a 50% increase. So that is quite significant. It may be linked to lifting of the lockdown. And second, quite problematically, numbers are rising particularly fast in the two states where a lot of India's industry, manufacturing, economy, the financial network sits or resides. That is Maharashtra and Gujarat, the two West Coast states. In fact, if you look at the economic map of India, you will see that India's economy, particularly manufacture, services, etc., etc., are much more weighted towards the West Coast states. So these two West Coast states are in trouble right now. The third big West Coast state, Karnataka, which is also an economic engine, is doing much better relatively. At this point, it's one of the success states. Kerala is doing better, that we all know, but Kerala is really not a very industrially or economically powerful state to that extent. Now, Maharashtra and Gujarat, both are in trouble. Maharashtra is doing much worse than even Gujarat. In fact, anytime you say anything critical of Maharashtra, then immediately you get a pushback from people from government in Maharashtra and its supporters. A lot of its supporters are people who actually support this government on the rebound because, you know, they dislike the Modi BJP so much that they are much happier to have Shiv Sena in power. Obviously, they didn't like Shiv Sena so much when Shiv Sena was in partnership with the BJP. So the pushback you get is, oh, why are you only talking about Maharashtra? Why not Gujarat? So Gujarat is also doing quite badly. And that is no consolation for Maharashtra. You can again say, oh, both have big cities that are crowded. Bombay, in any case, is much more crowded than Ahmedabad. So cut them more slack. You can do that also. Also, Gujarat, all right, test positivity rate is not as high as Bombay. Bombay test positivity rate now has gone very high. It's now in middle two figures. So it's around 15% and rising, which means community spread in Bombay is increasing. There is no denying that fact. Gujarat, on the other hand, while test positivity rate is not as high as Maharashtra, but in Gujarat, the fatality rate or case fatality rate is as high as Maharashtra, which is upwards of 13%. Upwards of 13% in these states is very high. For comparison, Delhi is about 8, which is all 7 to 8, which is also quite high. But there are other states which are much lower. If you look at Kerala, for example, again, Kerala is an example of a certain type. And we'll talk about Kerala because we just held an off-the-cuff conversation with Kerala's health minister, K.K. Shailaja, also known as Shailaja Teacher. I'll talk about that very briefly towards the end. Kerala has only 0.56%. But if you leave that aside, then a case positivity rate of now going to about 15% in Bombay, rising all over Maharashtra, high in Gujarat also, a fatality rate upwards of 13%. That is almost more than 1 out of 8 people. It's looking quite not nice, I would say, in Maharashtra, especially in Bombay. Now, what's happened as a result of that? What's happened as a result of that is it has immediately drawn criticism for the three-party or Mahagadi government there. Now, this is a strange three-party government because this is a government of people who disagree with each other. Because think of this like a three-legged stool. or a three-legged animal, of which two legs are of the same size. That is because NCP and Congress have the same ideology. They have worked together for a long time. They've also run governments in Maharashtra together. They've been partners also in the central government in Delhi. And they also came out of the same mother party. So those are the two legs which are of one length. But then there is another leg of a different length altogether. It's not smaller than the other two. Maybe it's a bit longer than the other two. But what happens to a three-legged stool where one leg is longer than the other two? Now, usually you would saw it off and make all three to be the same size. What has happened in Maharashtra is the opposite. What's happened in Maharashtra is that one leg is running this government, which means that three-legged stool is sitting on one leg. That leg also has two distinct parts of it over two generations. So say from the hip, from the pelvis to the knee, that means the hip and the femur is the father, Uddhav Thackeray, and down, my orthopedics is not so bad, I have broken many bones, tibia and fibula, below the knee joint and the foot, that's the son. Now you have a three-party government. One party has 56 seats. There is no dominant party. The other party has 54 seats. The third party has 44 seats. So, okay, the leader of the first party, because his party has the largest number, says, we will have the chief ministership. All right. In any case, the reason he did not go with the BJP was, he wanted the chief ministership, which BJP would not give him, because BJP had more numbers then Shiv Sena, they had contested together. So BJP wanted it for their own chief minister. He wanted the chief ministership. He got it. But then what does he do? Then when you do that, as I said, when you have three legs under a stool and one is of a different length, then either if that third one is longer, you saw it to make them the same size. If the third one is shorter, either you fix something to it. These days you can get Fevicol or something better than Fevicol to give it the same length, or you then saw the others off. But what he has done on the other hand is that the leg that he and his son constitute, that has remained as long as it was, but the other two legs have been sawn off, in the sense that in the distribution of soils, cabinet, etc., etc., it has now become a government dominated by one party and one family, one father and son team. And that has led to many issues. And that's why today, you see, the government is under attack, but it's not even being defended sufficiently by its own allies. So, Devendra Fadnavis, the former chief minister, is attacking this government very strongly. You found some central ministers, we had Piyush Goyal yesterday. And then you see how the BJP works these days. This is BJP social media wing, etc. They are now attacking that government. Who's rising to the defense of that government is a lot of liberal commentariat, essentially of Bombay, who are so grateful that the Thackerays kept the BJP out, which is a reasonable political argument. But where is the Congress? Is the Congress defending this government? Where is the NCP? Is the NCP defending this government? In the middle of all this, Sharad Pawar has gone to meet the governor, the same governor who had installed a completely fake government under Devendra Fadnavis at early in the morning, I think 5:47 a.m. That's his chosen time. He said it's a routine call because we had not met for a long time. I can tell you about Sharad Pawar. Sharad Pawar knows politics. Sharad Pawar plays politics. Nothing is routine in Sharad Pawar's life, particularly if it is to do with politics. And Sharad Pawar gives mixed signals. One of the most immortal lines I have heard in my study of Indian politics was from Pranab Mukherjee about Sharad Pawar. I had asked him in a walk the talk once that why is Sharad Pawar giving mixed signals? And he said to me, Sharad Pawar always gives mixed signals. So why is Sharad Pawar giving mixed signals now? Why is Rahul Gandhi now saying, look, don't hold me accountable and my party accountable for the problems in Maharashtra? Of course, Modi government should help the Maharashtra government, but this is not our government. We are only supporting it. our government is in Punjab, our government is in Rajasthan, our government is in Chhattisgarh, our government is in Pondicherry. This is not our government. In the middle of all this, when you know that there is a big crisis in Maharashtra, when you know that the government in Maharashtra is under pressure, you have a completely inexperienced chief minister who's never personally run even a municipality. In fact, he's until now never been elected in an election. He's now gone to the come to the legislative council. His son, who's very young, bright fellow, very young, but just an MLA now, and now has this big responsibility of being effectively the de facto number two in the government. Also kind of a spokesman for his party. In that situation, why is the most experienced party in the coalition, that's the Congress party, not rising to the defense of this government? One, because they are obviously a little bit concerned that if things are going wrong in Maharashtra, and if they continue to go wrong in Maharashtra, and it becomes like, it becomes a kind of symbol of a loss of control in the fight against COVID in India, do they want their party to be seen to be associated with that failure? So one, I think the Congress party is just getting cold feet. The second thing that's happening is the Congress party says, look, Rahul Gandhi says, what's in it for us? We are getting very little from it. Maybe some of my people have become ministers, but this is not a coalition government. This is a Shiv Sena government. That is the message you're getting from Sharad Pawar also. Just that Sharad Pawar is a much smarter politician than Rahul Gandhi. So he will give a signal, but not by saying anything. He'll give a signal by, in the middle of all this, pretending that, or, okay, not pretending, getting invited by the governor for a quote-unquote routine meeting. Rahul Gandhi, my colleague Rama Lakshmi, who's our opinion editor, she tweeted just a while back as I was coming in to record this. She tweeted and said Rahul Gandhi has again relived his ordinance tearing moment. Right? Remember in Manmohan Singh's time, he had come back when Manmohan Singh was overseas, he'd torn off that ordinance on political corruption, and that embarrassed the Manmohan Singh government greatly and actually terminally damaged UPA too. And remember the equation in Maharashtra. There is no dominant party there. So while there is inexperience in the government, chief minister and his de facto deputy, don't tell me who's the second senior most and third senior most. It's a father and son government. We've had fathers and sons serving together, either as the two most powerful people in a political party or in the government. We have a case, in fact, right now, in Telangana, where KCR and his son KTR are running the government. But KCR is somebody who swept that election, who sweeps that election, who destroys everybody who comes in his way and gets a huge majority. He can put his son, he can put his daughter, anybody he wants in his cabinet, because he gets the votes and he has the power and he has the numbers. In this case, one party, which is one third of a three-party coalition, has done this. It is unsustainable. So today you have a situation when there is an emergency-like situation in India's most important economic state, most important economic large state. Remember, Maharashtra is the second largest state in India in terms of the MPs it contributes to national parliament after Uttar Pradesh. If in that state you have such a difficult situation, you have an inexperienced father and son duo running the government, changing their decisions all the time, who don't reach out to others, who don't share power with others, who do behave like it's a KCR, KTR government, you already have your former senior partners with sharpened knives. BJP, Devendra Fadnavis, don't have to sharpen any knives. All their knives have been sharpened for a long time already, and they are there. They are waiting for you to stumble once. I think this is a formula for trouble. And that is where Maharashtra is now getting. So once again, Gujarat also has problems, but the problems that Maharashtra has are of a different kind altogether. As I said to you, there are father and son teams. There was in Punjab also, Akali Dal. There was Prakash Singh Badal, his son, and then he had put other members of his family in that cabinet, and his daughter-in-law was at the center. But then again, he's somebody who won that election. He had a majority of his own. He could have even done without the BJP until then. Not in Maharashtra. This is unsustainable. Fathers, sons, families helping their own family members is fine. I remember, since I talked about that earlier political lesson from Pranab Mukherjee about Sharad Pawar, I will tell you something that many journalists of my generation learned from Devilal in old days when he was Deputy Prime Minister. In a press conference, he was asked many tough questions because he was giving VP Singh's government a very tough time. So he was asked that, so he said, "Aur mere upar kya laachan hai? What else is the allegation against me?" And some journalist said that you want to promote only your son. So Devilal turned around and said, as only Devilal could have said, "Arre bhai, apne bete ko nahi to kya tere bete ko promote karunga?" So in politics, it's fine. People promote their children if they have children. But to do this when you are one leg of a three-legged stool is a formula for trouble. So inexperience shows in the Thackeray duo's handling, not just of the governance in Maharashtra, but also in their handling of politics. I think they realized quite correctly that they had the leverage to decide who will form the government. If BJP wanted to form the government, they needed them, because NCP and Congress will not go with BJP. If NCP and Congress wanted to keep the BJP out of power, they needed Shiv Sena, for which his bargain would be chief ministership, which is leverage. Once again, fine in politics, but you overdo it, then you are in trouble. That's where Uddhav Thackeray government stands in Maharashtra right now. Today, in fact, if you look at it, in terms of perception, it does not seem like a three-party coalition government. It does look like a Shiv Sena government. And frankly, it has done very little in the many months that it's been there, except, unfortunately, to stop that one metro rail section that was doing very well. So that is where you stand. That's where Maharashtra is. It's a matter of great concern. In fact, it will be unfortunate if the BJP now pushes this government to a situation where this government falls. They make that mistake in Madhya Pradesh and are paying for it. They must not do it now. This is a national health emergency. This is not the time to bring down state governments of the parties you don't like. But at the same time, this is also a time when Uddhav Thackeray and his son should sit down. Nobody from Congress can teach them anything. They should sit down with Sharad Pawar and get a tutorial in real politics from him. Remember, in 1992-93, when Bombay was hit by riots of the worst kinds, and it looked like nobody will be able to control it, Narasimha Rao had then requested Sharad Pawar to go to Bombay, Maharashtra, as chief minister. It was Bombay then, not Mumbai. As chief minister. And he did that. Although Sharad Pawar was a rival of Narasimha Rao's, he had contested against him for prime ministership. But he agreed to go back, and he restored order in Maharashtra, even though after that, just as he landed, bomb blasts, serial blasts took place. But he was able to control it because he has experience. So I'm not saying give the government over to him, but unless he plays a key role in the government there and he holds it together. So remember, there's only one man who can bring down this government right now. That is Rahul Gandhi. There are only two men who will be his allies in letting this government fall. That is Uddhav Thackeray and his son. And there is one man who may still be able to salvage it. That is Sharad Pawar. So that is the politics of Maharashtra right now. Now, before I let you go away, I will tell you about the off-the-cuff that we recorded with K.K. Shalaja, the inspirational health minister of Kerala, yesterday. And you should see it on our YouTube page. The whole link is there, just over an hour. So please see it. But there are a few interesting things he said. I'm not reading out everything she said. A few interesting things she said. One, quite remarkably, she said that even before the WHO announced that this was transmissible human to human. Remember, Jan 14, WHO had said this is not, doesn't look like it's transmissible human to human. But even then, Kerala had started to prepare because they had the experience. She had the experience of Nipah. And then she goes on to say how Kerala has followed a very tough system of tracking, tracing, isolating, quarantining, and the fact that Kerala has a good public health infrastructure has been very useful. She also said that Kerala has seen two waves already. One was from Wuhan, the other came from Italy and the Middle East, from the Gulf. And now she's bracing for a third one as all of India opens up and more people start coming back in. The other couple of things that he said, one, she said that Kerala, reminded us, had had very few deaths, only three so far, 0.56%, lowest in the country. Second, when I asked her if Bombay, Maharashtra had requested her to send doctors and nurses, she said yes, but she said she doesn't believe that Kerala can spare any, because Kerala, she said, when she inherited the health department, the staff strength of the health department was what was sanctioned in 1961. And although her government has increased it, she simply doesn't have enough to spare right now. And third, when we asked her that what can Mumbai, all you Bombay wallahs fight with me, what can Mumbai and Maharashtra learn from Kerala and why are they not getting things in control? She said, because they have slums. We do not have slums in Kerala. Of course, she said many things that many of you will be interested in, particularly on how Kerala government is using Ayush as a immunity booster. So please read that entire interview. Thank you very much for watching. And I know that I do keep reminding you every now and then, but good journalism costs money. We should not think that good journalism will keep coming to us if we don't pay for it. So please do pay. You buy your newspapers, you pay your cable operator for your TV channels. So please pay for what you see on your digital platforms as well, because it costs us money to bring you this very high quality content. So please do contribute, do subscribe. There is a link underneath this Cut the Clutter. Please go to it. And this is a voluntary subscription. We'll not take it away from you if you don't pay, but we'll be grateful if you do pay.